Welcome to another edition of the Gospel Mailbox. I'm Donnie Brossen. And as always, if you want to get in touch with us here at the Gospel Mailbox, you can contact us via the internet, www.gospelmailbox.org, or call us 423-544-0623, or write us via post, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37409.
Well, I'm talking with my niece, Nicole Harris, and her boyfriend, Zach Lewis. And both of them have grown up in church, and they both are staying in church. And there's been a lot of discussion in the local media lately around town about why, about how the church is losing young people, and it's statistically is the truth. And I want to ask them why, after growing up in this thing, why they are still in church. Zach, why are you still in church?
To be honest with it, being a pastor's grandson, I've seen a lot of hurt and I've seen a lot of different things that's happened through over the years, and God's always been faithful to me. And, you know, it helps me out with a lot of life lessons of what I've seen in the church and what I've seen out of church, and it's just made me stronger. But overall, my parents, my grandparents, my uncles and aunts, and my whole family just taught me to always stay with God, and He'll never lead you wrong, and He hasn't led me wrong. And that's the absolute biggest reason why.
Amen. Nicole, even though you had to suffer through having an uncle as a youth pastor, honey, why are you still in church?
Well, I love God, and He's never let me down, and I know that I'm called to work with kids, and I've known that for probably 10 years now, and there's no other place that I can get the training I need to help kids other than church, because I sure couldn't do it without God.
Amen. Well, we're on session number 43 of the Great Doctrines of the Bible. And tonight we're going to talk about regeneration. And you can't talk about regeneration without the third chapter of John. And we're going to start off reading John 3, 1 through 21. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know, and testify what we have seen. You receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, this story with Nicodemus is very significant in the Bible. Very significant. Because, see, Nicodemus, you know, it demonstrates how that someone can be very religious, as Nicodemus was, who was a ruler of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin court, the one of the 70, and a scholar, and someone who had studied the Bible, and who lived by the rules and did the best that he possibly could. And how that he came to Jesus, and Jesus plainly told him that he had to be born again. You see, it's one of the things that is a disadvantage almost with people that you know, occasionally go to church, or sometimes go to church, or maybe all the time go to church, and they haven't actually had that real experience with Jesus. You see, that you have to be born again. There has to be that regeneration that happens into your life, into your soul. You have to be that new creature, with all old things being passed away and all things being new, for you to actually really be a Christian. See, some folks will go and get in church, and they'll make new resolutions, and they'll change some of the things that they're doing, and they'll give up some things, they'll start doing some things, and it'll be more like a reformation in their life. And they think, they reach a point and they think that they are a Christian. But see, this thing about becoming a Christian is a dramatic event. It is a rebirth. It is a encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Apostle Paul talked, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become as new. And that was the whole point that Jesus was making with Nicodemus, is that he for folks to be a Christian, for folks to be right with God, they have to have that new birth, that dramatic new birth. Now, this new birth doesn't have to be, I mean, a lot of people do cry when they are saved and they're born again. A lot of people cry, a lot of people, their hands get sweaty. That's a very emotional thing. And the emotional part of it is not really the big thing about it. The big thing about it is what Jesus was talking about, and we'll talk about this some more as we talk tonight, but as Jesus was talking about it with Nicodemus, and he says you have to be born of the water and you have to be born of the Spirit. Now, let's talk for a minute about what he meant by you have to be born by water. Now, some Bible scholars and some very good Bible scholars believe that that's talking about the natural birth. Those of us who have have been into the delivery rooms with our wives, and the women who have actually given birth, we're all familiar with how that process works, and there's a thing that they call the water breaking, and there's actually water that comes forth before children are born into this world. And some Bible scholars believe that that's what that part, you have to be born of the water and have to be born of the Spirit, and that that means that you have to be born by a fleshly birth, that first birth, and then you have to be born by the Spirit with a second birth. And I can see where they would say that. There's other Bible scholars, and I happen to be not a Bible scholar, but I happen to be one of the ones that agree with them, that when it talks about being born of the water is being born of the Word of God. Because we keep hearing and keep reading over and over again how that, you know, we're washed with the Word of God. And there's that concept of how the Word of God is water, cleansing water in our lives. And there's a lot of references to, for example, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you got to have faith to be saved. And so there is that splitting it out, that you have to have, someone has to tell you the Word of God, tell you the truth, and then the Spirit activates that inside of you when you're under conviction. And it's the combination of both the Word of God and the Holy Ghost interacting inside of you that brings about this new birth. That's how I read that. Now, like I said, now there's other Bible, good Bible scholars who read that differently. There's also another group who believe that the water being water baptism and the Spirit being, of course, the Spirit of God, and they understand it to be that way. I have a little bit of difficulty understanding how they get that. Mainly because, for example, the thief on the cross, who Jesus said that today you'll be with me in paradise, who was not baptized. So I do not believe under any shape, form, or fashion you have to be baptized to make it into heaven, just by the thief on the cross. And also too, all the Old Testament saints. I mean, a lot of, like Moses and whoever, I just don't believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. But there are some people who believe that. Those of you that are saved, you got the Spirit of God to lead you. You got a Bible. You can, read these things and think about it and pray about it and decide how you read that. But the important thing that I want to really stress tonight is the fact that the fact of regeneration, how that this is actually, Christianity is not turning over a new leaf. It's not signing a card. It's not joining a group. It is not, it's not making new friends. It's not gradually changing your life until you get clean enough to be called a Christian. Being a Christian, being born is being born again. That's where it starts at, that regeneration. And see, regeneration primarily is a divine work. We see in John 1 and 13, John was talking about Christians, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Talking about Christians. And the Apostle James said, James 1:17 through 18, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be of a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now I want to focus in on a couple of things there. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above. I'll underscore that. I mean, that's everything that's good is from above. That means that, when they came out with a salt vaccine, prevents polio. That's a good gift from and God gave people the intelligence and worked through people to bring about that great thing. But the main good gift that comes from above is our salvation. And that is from above. And James is talking about how that of his own will, how in God's own will, that he begot us, that new birth. And what does it say here? That he begot us with the word of truth. So we see how that the truth, the Bible plays a very large part, in the regeneration of the Christian. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why the Bible, Bible preaching, Bible-based songs in the church, singing scriptures in the church, why that is so important, because it is intricately woven in to the process, the act of the second birth, the regeneration. The Bible is critical for that. And we look on in Titus 3 and 5 where Paul was talking, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And then also too in John 3, 5 and 6, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So, we see there how that it is the Spirit of God that initiates, that brings to fruit, that completes this new birth. You got to be born again. You have to have that rebirth. And according to what we can read in the scriptures, there's two things that come into play in that new birth. One is actually not a thing, it's the person of the Holy Ghost plays a very intricate part He plays a major part in that new birth. And also the Word of God plays a major part in that new birth. See, you can have, you know, church services, you know, where, you know, the Spirit of God's moving, people are excited, they're shouting, they're crying, they're hooping, they're hollering, they're speaking in tongues, and getting slain in the Spirit. I mean, raising their hands, running up and down the aisles. And I love those kind of services. I mean, not everybody does, but I love those kind of services. And that is great. But see, you also have to have strong biblical preaching inside a church for it to be healthy and for it to be actually winning people to Jesus. Because what happens is if even when people will come to the altar and pray and cry and stuff, if you don't give them good, solid biblical teaching and they don't understand what's going on, sometimes it can just be an emotional experience. See, people have got to understand these critical questions about Christianity. They've got to know who is Jesus. Without a shadow of a doubt, no confusion, they've got to know that Jesus is the Son of God. They have got to know what the cross really means. They have got to know that Jesus died on the cross, freely died on the cross for our sins, and He paid the penalty for our sins. And they've got to know that on the third day, He was resurrected. Got to know this. I mean, that is an integral part of the gospel. That is the gospel. And, you know, if you just have a lot of the emotional aspect to it, and I mean, even, you know, just, you know, the with the Spirit of God, even with the Spirit of God moving, and people are just getting emotional, and you're not teaching them and they're not understanding the basics of Christianity, what Christianity is really about, like I said, to be able to adequately describe who is Jesus, what He did on the cross, and what does that mean to me, then they may come up to the altar, they may cry, they may go on and stuff, but there's nothing there to sustain them. I mean, it takes both the Word of God and the Spirit of God for people to be born again. Okay. But now, along the same lines, there is also, too, there's a human side of regeneration. John 1:12-13. But as many as received Him, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Get that. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. So, even though, don't misunderstand me when I'm talking about how that regeneration is a divine work and people are put in under conviction and they come forward or pray in the car or wherever and they are born again. And yes, that is the Spirit of God. And yes, that is the Word of God that God supplied to people. There is also a human side of this where mankind, a man or a woman, has to receive it in order to be given the power to become a son of God. James 1 and 18, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. 1 Peter 1, 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we go back again to the critical part that the Word of God plays in the new birth. 1 Corinthians 4 and 15. For though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. And then, but we've also got to remember, too, that how that the Lord opens our hearts to the truth. And just like Lydia, Acts 16 and 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. You see that? How God opened Lydia's heart. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. But see, the word has to be believed and received by a person. 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit into unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Get that. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit into unfeigned love. See, it's critical for us to understand that, yes, the Spirit of God instills in us and works in us and initiates this new birth, and how that God created this Word of God that could be preached to us, that would give us faith. But there's also that component that we have to accept. We have to accept and we have to act upon the truth. See, man is regenerated by personal acceptance of Jesus Christ.
I'm Donnie Bryson. You've been listening to the Gospel Mailbox. If you want to contact us, call us at 423-544-0623, or you can contact us via the internet, www.gospelmailbox.org, or you can write us via post, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee 37409. This has been the Gospel Mailbox, where we bring Christ's love letter to you.